At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 234. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe to them over there as well. And find the Play Tessie playlist there where you can find all our videos. Hit the thumbs up on them and find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You got the promise that we were going to have a full squad on this show. You've got it. We're all here. We didn't promise a sweep, but you got that too. Three dubs, three all-stars. We're going to get into all of it. But the last pod, Sammy, you and I were here on the last pod, and they were coming off a series sweep against the Reds where it was a doubleheader that day, and they won one of the games of the doubleheader, and they had won the series. But yet we like couldn't get excited about it because the loss was just – It was such a gut-wrenching loss, blown at the end, a 3-0 lead late, and they coughed it up. And this to be honest with you, this series kind of felt like it could be headed in that same direction. Like this last game was a grind. It was far from certain. You had multiple. I mean, the Nats had base runners all day long, and they had plenty of times where they could have tied the game, taken the lead, yada yada. But the Red Sox got out of those innings every single time. And the offensive onslaught came in the first inning and, you know, some clutch offense late and with the Sadon homer that really made you feel okay about the game. But it feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sitting here wondering, they swept the Cardinals at Fenway Park in early April. Since then, have we had a podcast where we can just sit here and like kind of enjoy ourselves? Because every single other time something good has happened, there's been a but. They sweep the Yankees, but they trade Devers. They win the first two games against the Reds and like look like they're headed for a series sweep, but they cough up the third game. They win what, like 5 or 6 games in a row, but because they were start, or they win like, well, it's before the 6 games, because the 6th game was the Yankee series. Before that, they have a good series against the Rays and they have a good series against the Yankees, but because they dug themselves such a deep hole. It's like, yeah, they're playing well, but can we buy into this? Right now, I feel like I'm in a place where I'm ready to watch and see what this team does. I'm fully expecting them to be deadline buyers right now. Maybe that is premature to say because things can happen. But this looks like a team worthy of investment. This is a team that's coming off winning 5 out of 6. And I don't see anything that I don't see any buts right now. Am I wrong? Are there buts?
Well, I think there's a few, honestly. Okay. If I'm analyzing this team objectively, I still don't believe in this bullpen. I haven't believed in the bullpen.
Sammy, when I say butts, I'm saying we jump on this podcast and like there is something that happened that's kind of preventing you from being happy about what you
okay, saw. Okay. So aside from the roster construction that I don't like.
Because you're
I
right, think there are roster flaws.
The butt would be, but look at the schedule coming up. It's kind of not exactly what you were asking about, but like you got the Rockies coming up next, then Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's tough, but then after Tampa Bay, you get the break, and then it gets crazy. We've gone over the schedule. I'm sure we'll do it again, but that would be that's my butt.
Is, that's a pretty okay butt.
Yeah. No, like, it's good. It's good. It's just worse. Like, but you look at that. You couple that with the bullpen I just talked about, which gives me concern, and I have a hard time getting too high or too low with this team overall. I think that's, for me at least, that's been the theme all season long. You know, opening day, I'm through the roof. But since these guys started going, I've kind of been in this middle ground the entire time where I'm like, yeah, you know, this team isn't as bad as they've been playing, but I don't think they're as good as I thought initially. So, and I think their record is indicative of that. 46-45, like slightly above average to this point. It's an interesting team. They could still make the playoffs. I'm not declaring them dead. I like some things about this team. There's a lot of things I don't like about this team. And kind of like what you said, Gordo, I'm ready to sit back, keep watching these guys, hope they buy at the deadline. I still feel like
they're buying
slight,
at the deadline.
Slight lean towards buying, but it might be a buy-sell thing where we're kind of like, oh, come on. You got rid of Chapman and replaced him with Finnegan or something. But yeah, I'm kind of still, you know, firmly in that this is a mid, slightly above average team.
Pat, you have butts right now. Like, is there anything holding you back? You've significant butts,
dude. I got a BBL.
Oh god,
I got a BBL size butt. Oh, we're going on back to back outings where Crochet has not looked overly great, and that compounded with his usage, the volume. Something to kind of monitor going forward throughout the end of the year. But
back I gotta take.
Not bad. Not bad starts. They weren't great. They weren't, I wouldn't even call them good. But it's something to watch. Because
he battled.
He did. He did.
Pat,
against two
knocking
teams.
Take on Crochet. Now, Reds stink. I think the Reds are worse than their record. I think Crochet has trouble getting going against bad teams. Like, I feel like he needs to be fired up or else he's not his best. Like, He just did it all day today. He seemed like he was like, yeah, it's Garrett Crochet, but dude, this is the friggin' Nationals. Who do you got to worry about in this lineup against a dominant lefty? Like, really, who? Nobody, really.
We'll learn, because, I mean, he's going to face the Rays in his next start, and he's probably not going to, like, because the Rays have some good starting pitching. You're probably not going to get, because what did he get against, he had the Chase Burns start where they scored 7, and then he had this start where they scored 4.
So that's another one. They scored
fingers.
A million runs right off the bat for him in that red start. So he's probably like, okay, I don't really need to be that locked in.
And which, they had the weird rain delay today too, which kind of throws you off. So there's other factors. I get it.
Yeah, I think the Crochet thing is definitely like it's not. I'm not concerned. Is not where I would say I am yet, especially since you know both starts. Like, what is your job? Your job is to keep your team in the game and to win the game. And, like, obviously with the Reds game, like, it was going to be hard to not keep your team in that game. But in this game, like, this thing could have fallen apart. They scored 4 runs, but then they didn't score for a while. And when the ball, I mean, that Duran play was brutal. But, you know, he kept it to 1 run. He got out of jams. Like, he made the pitches he needed to make when he needed to make them. To Sammy's point, they were not, it's not like he was getting out Aaron Judge in these spots. Like, he was getting out the Nationals. So it is what it is. But yeah, the next start's going to be super important for Crochet. I hope that they don't have him pitching in the All-Star game. I don't know if that's like a old head take, but I feel like just let him rest during that break and give him extra time.
Wouldn't he be pitching only like 3 days before the All-Star game? If my math is correct, he won't pitch against Colorado. I don't think he'll be able to. I think
not be allowed.
Yeah, it'll be like a day off, right? Because you get 3 against Colorado, and then Crochet would be the second. Shit, it might line up for him pitching. I hope not.
Either way, though, like you could also Joe says he's going Friday, so he would be allowed. He would be allowed, but I hope they don't. And to be honest with you, like part of me hopes that maybe they give him the second or third game after the All-Star break, like give him a legitimate break because he like even if these last couple starts is not anything fatigue based, like he has been working. Like is he still leading in innings? He was leading in innings a while ago. He is leading in strikeouts. I'll pull up the stats. I'll find.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he still is unless Fried passed him.
I kind of hope Garrett Crochet gets food poisoning right after his final start of the half. So they're like, oh, you can't even go travel to the All-Star game, man. You got to stay home and relax for a week.
You mean,
yeah, food poisoning.
He's leading the AL in innings. He's tied for the league lead in baseball with Logan Webb, 120 and a third innings. That's a lot. They are going to have to figure out ways. Like everyone got super mad when they pulled him at 85 pitches that one time, like, they're going to have to do a couple more of those in the second half. Hopefully the Red Sox get to a place where these games are not all must wins down the stretch, which, to be honest with you, like, knowing the Red Sox, like, they probably will be. Like, it's probably going to be like, oh, you got to win this series or else you're dead, or you got to win this series or else you'll fall out of the wild card. And credit to them, because it could be a lot worse. Like, this is a group that was, what, like, three-ish games out, and if they went on a bad stretch here, they could be five plus out approaching the All-Star break. Like, we're talking about them selling. I don't think anyone should be talking about them selling outside of a potential buy sell, like Sammy said. Like, you can talk about selling the rentals, but you cannot come out of the deadline worse off than you were going into it. Like, the sell-off needs to be, like, because you look at the outfielders, and we can talk about it, they've got Bregman and Yoshida coming back within the week. Like, they, both of those guys are supposed to come back before the All-Star break. And your guess is as good as mine how they're going to find at-bats for Yoshida, because you cannot play Yoshida plus all four of Duran, Abreu, Rafaela, Anthony. Like, you can't play... Refs, against the lefties, you can reasonably bench Yoshida and Abreu and, like, be okay. But against righties, like, you cannot play all five of those guys at the same time.
But it's just another guy you got to get in there, I'm saying, with Ref Snyder. Like, it's really crowded. I think that Yoshida is going to come back later than people think. I know they said maybe at this homestand, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was after the All-Star break, because he didn't really look great in Double-A. He had a single, but timing-wise, not like, great. They might want to. Yeah, there's no point in rushing it. You got more than enough talent. Plus, I know I always say, like, too much talent is a good thing, but in this instance, might not be a good thing. It might just make Cora's life really difficult, and, like,
they gotta make a trade.
Who's not?
There will be one. It's just a matter of when. Like, can you, like, if it were up to me, they wouldn't bring Yoshida back until they had a trade lined up.
Yeah, I agree. Because then it's just this, like, weird, like, lineup gymnastics to get everybody at bats. Like, you have, like, even now, like, Duran seeing time at DH, and then, like, Roman's at DH, and then Williers, like, sit it. Like, it's a weird thing. I agree. You have to have all your eggs sorted before you bring Masataka back. Because the second he comes back, there are guys who are going to be losing legit playing time. When they shouldn't.
Yeah, they don't deserve it. Like, earlier in the season, like, you could have debates on, oh, like, Duran's not off to a great start. Oh, like, Rafael is not hitting. Oh, whatever. Like, but Duran has been a little bit better, and obviously it's Jaren Duran. Like, it's going to be hard to bench. Like, you can trade Jaren Duran, but it's hard to bench Jaren Duran. Zaydon Rafael has become one of the best players on the team, especially the last few weeks. So, like, obviously he's not going anywhere. He's not sitting against lefties or righties. Like, he's in the lineup every day. Willier Abreu, every single time against righties, he plays. That is the rule. So, like, what? Like, there's just, against righties, I don't know who sits unless there's a trade.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's impossible. But here's one thing that might throw a wrench into the situation that already has a wrench in it. What if they want to trade Yoshida, and the only way they can trade Yoshida is to show, look, he's healthy and he's playing major league games? That's the one thing.
Stunned if they could move Yoshida.
Yeah,
I would be too. I'd be surprised. But like Pat Gordo and I talked about this on the last episode, every time after that Devers trade, every time we hear any trade opportunity,
we're like, dude.
Wait, you guys seeing this?
Yeah.
The Nationals fired
the Red Sox broke the Nationals.
They fired both GM Mike Rizzo and manager Dave Martinez. The Red Sox shattered that organization.
Anyway, yes. No. Yeah.
Wait, who gives a shit? Legitimately though, Sammy, even if that were to be true, let's say that's true and they're trying to get Yoshida out there and we're going to get this guy legitimate playing time, let's say between July 10th and July 30th. And those 20 days, even though there's an All-Star break in there, those 20 days are dedicated to showing a team that this guy's healthy. Who sits against righties? Who sits? Like, you can't even say a rotation of Duran, Anthony, Abreu, Yoshida gets off days, because you're already sitting Abreu against a bunch of lefties. Like, you can't sit him against righties too. He's been too
probably
good.
Probably Duran. He's the weak link. Who's Willier's the best bat of that group. Sedan's been the best all around player of that group for like a month now. I'm not benching Roman Anthony in favor of Jaren Duran. I don't even like playing Roman Anthony at DH at all. Frankly, I understand why it happens, but and then if you need Yoshida to play, then he's got to play. Then that makes Duran the odd man out. And I've been saying Duran's the odd man out, even with Yoshida in the mix. I think that less so with how good this kind of rotation has been working, even though it's not, it's far from ideal. I get that. And guys get benched against the, you know, the same dexterity pitcher sometimes, not perfect, but they've been winning. So, I think Duran's the odd man out, no matter how you slice it. Age, performance, all of the above control.
You can't sit Duran. Like, you can trade Duran, but you can't sit Duran.
You can for a game or two. I mean, I don't mean like bench him. Like, you only play once every 3 days. I'm like, here and there, a righty's pitching. It's like, sorry, man, we'll try to get you in versus 95% of the righties, but we're working on a trade for Yoshida, and he sucks, and we need him to hit. He doesn't suck.
It's going to be honest with you, I it's going to be tough, and I keep coming back to, because like I know Sammy, everything you're saying makes sense about him being the weak link, which he has been this year. Like, there's no dancing around it. Every part of me just keeps coming back to, I know like there's no obvious rumblings right now about trades that are close, but I cannot fathom them bringing Yoshida back without a trade lined up, because it makes a roster that's already a little bit clunky it even less functional, because now you're sending down guys who are fast, play defense, potentially, you know, a guy who hits against left-handed pitching in Nate Eaton. Like, it's not going to be easy. So we'll see what they do. But I do want to talk about this offense, because in this series, I mean, they went absolutely bananas. Double-digit runs in the first two games, and that's after having a good offensive series against Cincinnati as well. They scored 6 runs in the last game. So my question to you guys is, following what you saw in this series, do you believe in the group? And when I ask you if you believe in the group, I feel like we should limit it to a few players here. Roman Anthony has gotten red hot. He has multi-hit games in 5 of his last 8, and he has a hit in 8 of his last 9. Sandon Rafael has been lighting the world on fire. Trevor Story has been lighting the world on fire. Both of those guys have been doing it Story's been doing it basically since the beginning of June. Sandon, I know he's been doing it since the beginning of June too, but honestly, it might be going back a little further. My question to you guys is, do you feel comfortable relying on, let's keep it to those three guys? And I guess loop Abraham Toro in there too. Because if there's a trade, I feel like he might be the guy that loses the playing time. Like, do you believe in the offense right now?
Comfortable to do what, though? Like, make the playoffs?
Yeah. Like if you get to the deadline, is there any part of you that would feel okay not adding a bat?
No.
Oh, God, no.
No, they have to add. Honestly, they kind of have to add. They need a bat. They need a bullpen arm. I maintain they need a bullpen arm. They're going to hit a wall eventually. And then I guess the rotation, like,
you need a starter.
Yeah, you do. But like, you need three different things. If you got it. Here's a question. I think we all agree it would be great to get a starter. They need bullpen help and they need a bat. If you pass on one of those, which one would it be?
Bullpen. It's tough. But I see stuff coming back for the bullpen. And if you get a starter, like, for instance, a Hunter Dobbins could really help you out of the bullpen. If you limited that guy to 1 or 2 innings, like, that's an arm that could help you. I think we haven't seen, like, obviously he's been great since his return, but like, true leverage innings might be in Chris Murphy's future as well. Like, there are guys that could, and Slayton's going to come back. Like, there's a vision for something that could happen in the future. Whereas with the rotation, like, you're praying that Giolito, who, by the way, amazing again in the series, and he's got an 0.83 ERA, I believe, in his last 5 starts. Like, that guy's been amazing, but can you rely? Like, he's been the number 2 that the Red Sox have been searching for all season, but can you rely on that to continue? Brian Bello has been the 3 that the Red Sox have been searching for all season. Can you rely on that to continue? I would feel a lot. I feel like the vision, like, more things can go wrong with the bullpen and you can still have a good bullpen. Whereas with the rotation, if one thing goes wrong, it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. And I also think that if you use kind of a similar logic, not the exact same logic. Well, yeah, I mean, you got Bregman coming back for the lineup, so that's a massive, massive boost. And then I feel like specifically Roman Anthony just keeps getting better and better and better. So you'll start to rely in your head. You can rely on him more as an offensive kind of, you know, point of strength. But yeah, the rotation, Sandoval doesn't really do much for me. That's not a guy you can rely on. That's gravy.
Y'all forget about that.
Yeah, no, that's gravy, if anything. I think, yeah, Gordo, the rotation, and you could also frame it like this. Well, the rotation has a ton of depth. You have Crochet, you know, Giolito's been great. Harrison could come up. Dobbins, Fitz, Bayo.
Like,
you
have depth. That's the
exactly
question.
Right now it's Giolito, and I feel great about that, but how will I feel come August or September? Like, we don't know. So I guess you guys want to rank in terms of order of importance of what they need to do.
It's a really hard question, but let's take a stab at it. I feel like my rankings change. Like, I've been bat, and I'm considering going rotation first.
We're Gordo, we're like opposites. I'm always like, they need more pitching, and you're always like, yeah, they need more hitting. We're and then Pat's like, Pat's the smart level doctor.
I've had the same answer for a month and a half. It's rotation.
Pat's
rotation.
In this instance, Pat's wanted pitching.
Okay, I think I would go most important rotation, because, you know, okay, if you really want to win in the playoffs, you need three starters you feel good about. It's great to have game one and game two, but you really need three. So I'll say starting pitcher is the most important. Second most important, I don't know, dude. I might say bullpen. Wow. I might say bullpen just because I think there's going to come a time, July and August, where those starters aren't quite in the bullpen yet. And Weissert, Bernardino, maybe Chapman have hit a wall. And you're like, oh shit, who do we feel good about right now?
Can I ask you something, Sammy? How do you feel about Jordan Hicks? Because I feel like what you think about Jordan Hicks shapes how you feel about what they need to do at the deadline.
I think Jordan Hicks is a good bullpen addition, but he's not. I wouldn't be happy if he was the guy added to the bullpen. Like, he might become that. He could revert to his old self and be unbelievable, but who knows if he'll be able to do that. He hasn't looked great for the Red Sox. He hasn't looked bad, but he just hasn't looked spectacular. I know he just got back from a fucking toe injury, yeah, whatever the hell. It sounds like a joke. Yeah, a toe. But I think they need more than that. I think that Chris Murphy could be a guy, but even if he is a guy, that's a guy who just came off of major surgery and he had to work his way back. How much do you want to put on him? That's not exactly fair to him. So I think the best thing they could do, or maybe the smartest, most realistic thing, is you get a guy who's like a fringe-ish closer, like someone like Kyle Finnegan, who we didn't even get to see in that series, just for another guy in the seventh or eighth inning. You can keep Chapman in the ninth. I know I've been saying I want to move him around, which on Sunday is what Cora did. Worked out fine. Just, I think you need another leverage arm. It doesn't have to be like a Mason Miller type or just a monster. Just a guy who's been there before and is reliable. And Hicks, if he were healthy and weren't bouncing around roles prior, I would say that's that type of guy, but it's been such a weird path for him, so I'm just not comfortable putting him in that category. So that's what I would put second. And then third, I think the bat is the third most important, just because, like I said, Bregman coming back, and I think the young guys will click. Campbell could come back too, and he can be a beast. Yeah. Who knows?
The truth is, it's really hard to answer this question without seeing what the team looks like with Yoshida and Bregman. Pat, take your stab at it. So you have the rotation first. What's second in your pecking
order? I'd go bat, because I think the bullpen can kind of situate itself out, because once everybody's healthy, once Dobbins is back and healthy, Dobbins, Hauk, like those guys, once they're healthy, you stretch them out. I still think that Tanner's best use at this point as a leverage reliever. So you have some reinforcements there. The rotation is by far the number one for me, because you game two in a playoff series, throw shit at the wall, see what sticks. Like, that's where you're at right now with a game two.
Right. Sorry. Like, if game two were tomorrow or like this week, you'd feel really, really good throwing Giolito there. But like, we saw what Giolito was in his first few starts. And, you know, honestly, he's been really good, way more than he's been not good. And but it's like, coming, can you trust it? It's tough.
Coming off of surgery too, so like, you don't know what he's going to look like down the stretch. Like, so rotation far and away number one. Bullpen, I would put three. I would put bat two, because you've gotten really fortunate now for about 6 weeks, where Abraham Toro, Romy Gonzalez, and Rob Refsnyder have been very good Nate Eden has been serviceable. Roman's starting to come into his own. Narvi is still hitting. Like, all this is starting to kind of snowball. You absolutely
Who's hitting,
need
Pat? Who's hitting?
The Narv.
Gordo, I saw you mouth the Narv right before you did that, and I was like, oh, coming.
But you need a top four hitter. Because when Bregman gets back, I would assume if Duran's still here, it's Duran, Bregman, Roman, and then a four. It can't be Toro. It can't be the Narv. Like, you need a legit middle of the order bat.
Who do you have hitting cleanup versus a lefty? Probably
Ref. Righty.
Honestly, I don't even feel that bad. If there's a lefty pitching.
No, and hit Ref Snyder cleanup. Who cares? Like, he's great.
Yeah, that's fine. And then put Romy fifth.
Yeah, no, put Romy like first or second or like seriously, like all these.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
these
not even. Lefties, yeah.
Like, I don't. I think they're smart to hit at the top of the order. I'm honestly more concerned of who's my 3, 4, 5 against righties.
Yeah, that's fair. How weird is that, dude? All we did last year was talk about how they can't hit lefties and they got to fix it. Now we're like, no, not a worry at all. We got three Barry Bonds in the lineup every time there's a lefty on the mound. So
yeah,
I think.
So Pat had starting pitcher, bat, bullpen. Sammy had starting pitcher, bullpen, bat. Right?
Yeah. What you got?
I'm trying so hard here to not get like rose. What is it called? Rose colored goggles? Is that the term?
Rose colored glasses.
Rose-colored glasses about what I'm seeing from the offense right now, just because there's a lot of guys that are playing like the best, certainly their best baseball of the season offensively. I feel like I can't sit here.
You're missing your best bat. You're missing your number one guy.
Right. That's the other. It's like I'm trying to balance the fact that this offense looked flawed for the majority of the season with Devers and Bregman in the lineup. But since then, Trevor Story has become whatever you want to call him right now. He's been one of your best players. Sandon Rafaela has become one of your best players. Like, it's different now, but you just have to evaluate how likely it is to last. And I'm just nervous that the offense is going to look a little bit closer. Not what it was right after the Devers trade, but maybe just like a little bit in the middle what it was before the Devers trade. I feel like I'm going to, like, there's a significant chance I'm going to change my answer on this before the trade deadline, but I'm still not quite there ready to put starting pitcher over the bat. I feel like you need to have any success in a postseason series. You do need to have multiple good starting pitchers, but you also need to have a portion of your order that teams have to think about, that teams have to prepare for, have the right pitcher. Four. You have Bregman as a righty. Who's your lefty counterpart to that? It was Devers. Now who is it? So by a hair, I'm still leaning bat. I'll go starting pitcher with as an obvious number two and bullpen as three. I think this team, to have a chance at all at making the playoffs, they need to add both a starter and a bat. You can, I think, get away with not adding to the bullpen, but I think they should add to it. But if you are only going to add to two, I think I really feel strongly that they can't go anywhere in a postseason without adding a starter and a bat. So that's where I'm going to be right now. But again, like, if the offense keeps doing what it's doing, like, eventually I'm going to change my answer to starting pitcher, but it hasn't been enough time. I can't fully buy into what I'm seeing yet. I want to, like, I want to believe that this team's going to put up 10, 12 runs a game, but I'm not even like too much.
It's funny how we look at things so differently. Like, I'm not even remotely thinking about this current stretch. When I'm analyzing this, I'm just like, who do I believe in? Who do I think will continue doing this? And who do I think will fall off a cliff? Like, Sedan and the Narv are two of my favorite players on the team. But if both of them fell off a cliff offensively, I would not be shocked at all. Like, that could very well happen. Narvaez has already started to slow down a little bit because he has to play every game because the backup can't hit or play defense. So, yeah, man, I don't know. It's tough. This team has a lot of flaws, which is what happens when you lose your cleanup hitter, who is your opening day guy. You lose your best bat because he wasn't getting along with everyone. And then Bregman's been down for, I don't even remember how long at this point. So
long time. Too long, maybe, to, and we'll talk about the All-Star stuff later. But I thought it was really funny that he's basically missed half this damn season. He makes the team. But we'll get to that. Before we get there, I want to ask you guys about the Bueller start and Dobbins having a rehab outing on the same day where he looked pretty good.
May God bless you, Gordo.
I tried to hit the mute button. I slipped. I couldn't do it.
Keep that in, Joe. Don't cut that.
No, you can't cut that.
Keep the sneak.
Achoo!
What were we talking about?
How the Yankees have 27 championships and are really good. No, we're talking about Bueller and Dobbins.
They can kiss our 27 World Series rings. Like, no one cares.
You're giving Bueller another start, right? Like, but if assuming the answer is yes, Dobbins threw 5 innings. So what, like, would you give him one more start in the minors as a rehab, and if Bueller bombs, you insert him there?
Yeah, and I know I've been giving a longer leash to Bueller than you two would have liked, but it's simply because the stuff is there. It's not fantastic, but he's not throwing 91. Like, he's throwing mid-90s. His stuff is moving. He's just not locating. And he located, you know, he wasn't perfect on Saturday, but he located much better. No walks, a lot of three ball counts, but no walks. The issue has been his fastball location. He was locating both of his fastballs on Saturday. I thought that was a great step in the right direction. I thought he was good. I didn't think he was incredible. A lot of traffic. He did get doinked a lot. There were 4 soft hit singles that got off of him. And then a lot of the hard hit balls were ground balls that made it through. So, you know, he wasn't fantastic, but it was a good start. Put the Red Sox in a position to win. Not that they needed it much, because they scored 1,000 runs the first 2 innings. But still, I would give Bueller another start. I'm not overly confident about him. But, you know, this is a guy who's been an all-star multiple times. We've seen him have success at the highest level, and they're the highest pressure. So I don't want to give up on a guy like that after less than half a season. You know, that's the type of guy who could go elsewhere, catch on, and you're like, fuck, if we just stuck with this guy for another month and you waited it out, then we would have a legit 1-2-3 in the rotation. And, you know, we pushed him out for this young kid who we like, but want to win this year. So, yeah, I'd give Bueller one more start. Like I said, not super confident, but he's going to face the Rockies. No, he'll get the Rays, right? Game one, who he pitched very well against.
Yes, that's right, because they play Thursday.
Yeah, so he pitched very well against the Rays last time out. So we'll see. I'd give him one more. Not thrilled about it, but I'm not super upset about it. I just, you know, this is Walker Bueller we're talking about. This isn't like some schmuck. And it's not like Corey Kluber, where the stuff is like, this isn't Corey Kluber. Oh, yeah. Who is this guy? Like, this is the corpse. Like, this is Walker Bueller. He just has no... And they by the way, great job by Cooper Boardman and Will Fleming on WEEI breaking down everything going on with Bueller and how he... It's a release point thing, is what the Red Sox and Bueller are saying. And so against the Blue Jays, he didn't have it for some of the innings, and then he had it for some of the other innings, and it's just a matter of consistency with him. So is he going to find that consistency? Who knows? He might not, and then c'est la vie, was worth a shot, didn't work out, goodbye. Or maybe he will, and then it clicks, just like Giolito. People weren't thrilled about him. Now he's been dominant. So, yeah, I'm fine giving Bueller another start. Not mega confident, but, you know, not crazy to see him bounce back.
Pat, where are you at with Bueller?
I think... I mean, if you want,
you can kick him to the curb right now and Dobbins is ready.
But that's if you want so to ride, I think my, hand,
ride him, you could.
My... No? Okay.
Wait, I was wondering. He froze.
No.
I was like, oh, is Pat going to comment?
Yeah.
Did I say something?
No,
you're fine.
What did I say?
You said you can ride him if you want.
Oh.
Anyways, so like my
thing is, we're not filling Tyler O'Neill's big gaping
hole. All right.
No, I think the thing with Walker is if they add a starting pitcher at the deadline, he 100% is obviously the rotation spot that the acquisition goes into. So now what it comes down to is, do you want to optimize your chance of winning between now and then and putting Dobbins in there for Bueller? Or do you totally avoid another shuffle with Dobbins and just ride out Walker Bueller until you get the acquisition and it's a one-for-one swap. I think that's how I lean right now. As long as he's not like the Angel start bad.
Right.
If we see that again, leave the jersey in the locker. See you later. Gone.
Yeah. But
if he can do what he did with in Washington, which I would say it was not good, but it wasn't abysmal. If he can do that,
an abomination.
Yeah. If he can do that three more times until the Red Sox can get an upgrade and then just a plug and play, done. That's what you do.
Yeah. Cause you keep your depth that way. Like I wasn't really impressed with what Buehler did in DC. I didn't think he looked that great. 8 hits. He didn't walk anybody, but the fastball was left over a little bit and 3 ball counts and it got dinked a little bit, but it didn't inspire a lot of confidence. But it again, to Sammy's point, a step in the right direction, absolutely. Like, granted, anything could be a step in the right direction from what he was doing. But I think if you can keep your depth, you keep your depth. Obviously, as Pat said, he's the rotation spot that gets upgraded if you trade for someone. Like, in a perfect world, after the deadline, your rotation is Crochet number 1, X number 2, Giolito number 3, Bayo number 4, and you have the opportunity to kind of ride the hot hand between whoever's pitching well out of Fitz, Dobbins, and maybe Tanner Houck if he comes back and looks anything resembling what he was last year, which I know he had a good rehab start, 5 shut in Portland, but I definitely am not expecting Tanner Houck from last year or anything close to it. So I don't have confidence in Buehler, but I don't want to punt on the depth and punt on the guy who, to Sammy's point, is certainly capable of turning things around and being the guy who you wish you held on to until
it was definitely a step in the right direction. I know you guys, we were talking about it yesterday. You guys both thought he wasn't good. I was like, come on,
He looked fine. That good. It was a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
It wasn't an abomination.
No, agreed. Yeah. He didn't walk guys. The reason I thought he was good, or at least it inspired a little bit of confidence, is the things he was fucking up previously he did not do in that start. So,
but it's fine, like, what's the ceiling? That's the thing. It's like, we have not, like, we've seen him be solid for a stretch, but we're now into July and he has not put together a stretch of like, this guy has number 2 ceiling.
Right. Like, but you take a step back, you take a step back and it's Walker Buehler. He's had a bad half season. So, like, I mean, we saw this with John last
year.
Well, he barely played. He was legit just right off the surgery table. But
made 18 or 19, I think.
He
no,
made 16
no,
starts last year.
16 starts.
Okay, 16.
With a 5.38 ERA. And even, it was even 9. Then, in 2022, so he missed all of 23, but in 2022, he made 12 starts of a 4.02. He hasn't been like that dude that like we all know of when we think of Walker Buehler, the all-star guy, since 21, where he had a 2.47 and 33 starts.
For sure. But remember with John Lackey, like he came to the Red Sox, he was awful. Everyone wanted him gone. And then he gets hurt and they're like, oh my God, just get rid of this guy. Then he comes back. And he's like a key component to that 2013 team. I'm just saying.
It's on the table. I'm not saying that's impossible. But it's with the Red Sox in the position they are in the standings, with as this fringe wildcard team, can you afford, if the option is there to not have to start him in games, can you afford to keep riding it? I think the answer is yes right now. But if he gives you another Angels start or even the Blue Jays start, like if he gives you one of those, and you have Hunter Dobbins sitting there, I go Dobbins. If he can keep you afloat, then you got to trade for a starter at the deadline. And then it's who do you kick out of the rotation, the Buehler spot or the Fitz / maybe Dobbins spot? Like, it's probably going to be you're kicking Buehler out.
And then like, what do you do with Harrison too? Then Harrison factors in too. I think he's further away than
most people think.
Was just going to say that. I don't think we're seeing Harrison anytime soon. I think it's going to be so. Like August, maybe, when you see him in the big league level. I'm not even 100% sure he's going to. Well, I hope he's a starter.
There's a lot being thrown on his plate, and they're definitely trying to make him a starter. But I just like maybe late in the season, like they used Quinn Priester in one game at the end of last year, like that. Like they're doing with Harrison similar to what they did with Priester, where it's like you're throwing a lot of stuff at him, and like a lot of changes are going to be implemented in the offseason. You make a couple of them now. So, like, whatever you see this year, I feel like is not going to be, hopefully, what you're seeing from him next year. But I feel like it's going to be on an as-needed basis. And maybe if they're out of it, like, you give them one start at the end just to kind of try it. Kind of like Priester.
I might be stumped on Priester's jersey number with the Red Sox. I think I know it. I have two. It's either, I think it's 64.
64 what?
I think that was Priester's jersey number. I'm just thinking, oh. I don't know. I can't see this one off the top of my head.
God, I have no idea.
I gotta check. I'm gonna go crazy if I don't check. This is my thing.
And then we'll talk All-Star stuff.
If it's not 64, it's 68, but I think it's 64. Not 68! Fuck!
68.
Just stuck with it.
Quinn Priester in his 3.59 ERA for the Brewers.
Yeah, he's pitched well.
But yeah, to put a bow on it, like the starting pitch, like, yeah, Buehler's getting another start. He's not getting kicked out of the rotation after five innings, three runs. But it's going to be a, now that they've got guys who are ready, it's going to be on a start-to-start basis with him and anyone else who struggles. So we'll see. But let's talk about the All-Stars. Sox got three of them. Garrett Crochet makes the All-Star team for the second time in his career. Aroldis Chapman makes it for the eighth time in his career. Alex Bregman makes it for the third time in his career, which feels shockingly low. Like if you see Alex Bregman, you think he'd make it like five or six times. All off-season acquisitions, none of these guys were in the organization last year. Was pretty sure Crochet was going to make it. Was pretty sure Chapman was going to make it. Well, sorry, I was certain that those two guys were going to make it. The Bregman one was the only surprising one. Good for him for making it with as little time as he had. He was that good. He was an MVP candidate before he went down with his injury. I think he deserves the nod. I don't think he's going to play in the game, even though he's hoping to return before the game. I doubt he plays in it. You guys think he's going to play?
No. The All-Star game or before? You mean like
in the All-Star game?
No, I don't think he is. I hope. So. Actually, do I want him to? It might be like a rehab game for him if he does play.
I mean, if he makes the trip, he can. I don't know.
Yo, that would be nuts. Imagine if Bregman doesn't play, and then he comes off the IL. Can you do that? Come off the IL into the All-Star game? Pat, you're on mute.
Awkward. I was gonna say, there's no way.
That'd be hilarious. Can you imagine though? Oh, he's active for the All-Star.
No way.
Yeah, people would find a way to make that negative, but no, I don't think Bregman plays in the All-Star game. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Gordon mentioned that all three of these guys are new additions. How much credit do you give Craig Breslow? And let me explain why I'm asking. Crochet was not his top guy that he wanted. And according to what we've heard, it sounds like he had to get talked into Bregman. Therefore, he didn't really want Bregman either. Chapman, he gets the credit for. Fine. But for Crochet and Bregman, I'm like, how much credit do I give Stiff Craig?
Sammy, you got to give him credit. Like he plunged Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery to get Crochet. Like even if they were trying to sign Max Fried first, like I don't think anyone outside the organization truly knows, because the rumors were they were going to try to pursue both. So like people just assumed that if they'd gotten Fried, they wouldn't have stepped up their offer for Crochet. But he did want Crochet. He tried to trade for Crochet before Crochet got good. So I am giving Craig credit for that. And with the Bregman one, I think is a fairer gripe. But at the same time, like you're a GM, you give a guy $40 million a year. Like even if you had to be talked into it, your name's the one that's on the line if it doesn't work. So I'm giving Craig for credit for all of it. And
but if it didn't work, everyone would say snub
is Carlos Narvaez, who Craig poached from deep in the Yankee forest. Like credit to Craig where it's due. We've been really hard on him on the show especially since the Devers trade. But credit where it's due. I think outside of the Devers stuff, his offseason was awesome.
Yeah, I think I for sure give him most of the credit for Crochet. I don't think they would have gone after multiple guys. I think that's crap. There's no fucking way. Maybe, but I doubt it. I have to say maybe about everything now after the Devers trade, because now I've no.
Will they trade Bregman?
No, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, and then for Bregman, yeah, I know he gave him $40 million or whatever, but if Bregman stunk, the narrative would be, well, Craig didn't want him. So I think if you get that out, I think the opposite applies. I'll give him half credit for that. Full credit for Chapman, most credit for Crochet, and then half credit for Bregman. And then Narvaez is weird because like, did Craig Breslow be like, that's the guy I want? Or did the scouting department be like, hey, Craig?
Well, that's the way it is for everything.
Like, that you said about every single guy, yeah. though.
Not the big league trades, not the big boy ones.
Yeah, I think even the big boy ones. They have conversations in there. And I mean, I know that all those articles was like, Craig listens to nobody. But like, they have conversations and like, they all give their piece. Yeah. And
call me crazy, but I don't think that Craig Breslow was directly asking for Jose Bayo in the Devers trade. I think he probably had scouts recommend that.
Well, I mean, that's what they always say is like, oh, the assistant GMs were talking, and then it gets escalated to the real GMs to close the deal.
Like, yeah.
Posey was like, yeah, this like got dropped on my plate. It's like, what?
I bet the Narvaez Elmer trade was Eddie Romero. I bet it was Eddie Romero more so than Craig, because that's the guy who would know those dudes. Like,
office. Like, you set the culture. Like, you set the tone.
Sure. I just don't want to give Craig credit. I'm not liking Craig right now. I don't hate Craig, but I just don't like him right now.
I feel bad for Craig.
Give me a break.
He fucked up a lot of things, but I do feel bad. He's gotten so much heat and deserved it.
He traded Devers. I don't feel bad for him.
A lot got fucked up, but I feel bad for him on the human level. Even though I've talked over and over again how much he fucked up the situation. Like, he deserves it, but I feel bad.
On the human level, talking about Craig Breslow. Are you crazy? Thank you, Gordo.
Would you guys have, if you were selecting the teams, would you have put any Red Sox on the team, on the All-Star team that didn't make it?
Yeah. I think. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Narvaez, absolutely. I think, we were doing it before we got on. But compared to Kirk, it's, Sammy, what, 1.2 higher WAR, B-WAR?
Yeah. Yeah.
So 1.2 higher WAR, higher OPS plus, better behind the dish. Like, just across the board, Narvaez should have been there. The one that, like, I will hear out, but I see why it didn't happen, is Rafaela. Because as the all-star voting and all this started to get going, he was still not playing well. He's in the middle of a really, really hot streak, obviously. I think the AL outfield's really good. I think the only guy who made it from the AL outfield, Javi Baez.
Okay, that's the one.
So that's like, fan voting. That's just fans.
But like today, right this second, yes, Sedan should be there over Baez. When the fan voting started, no, probably not. Baez was playing better up until that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
You go ahead, Sammy.
Pat, I agree with you. That's why I'm not super upset about Sedan. I didn't think he was going to make it. But Narvaez is the reverse of what you just said. He was playing even better when the voting was going on. And Alejandro Kirk, like, what is the fuck? Like, he's a good catcher. But what is he? Why him? I just don't get it. And it's not like he's the only
batting average, Sammy.
He's 5'8", fucking 245-pound catcher. Bizarre. You know, he used to wear number 85. It's interesting. I don't get it. He does nothing better than Narvaez to this point. Better career, sure, but like, and it's not like, oh, this is Salvador Perez. He's a big name. He's fucking Alejandro Kirk. Who cares about this guy? I would have gone Narvaez. Yeah. Big surprise, because he's better at everything. But whatever. Have fun watching Alejandro Kirk.
I definitely would have gone with the Narv. I knew they were going to give it to Kirk, so I'm not like surprised or anything. Like, I know that Kirk's not a big name, but like, how many players got that ballot and you think thought, huh, this Narvaez guy's having a pretty solid year. Like, who the fuck is that? I wonder how many of these guys truly know, like, the breakout guy, like, cause Narvaez wasn't a big prospect. He's a rookie and he's a catcher. Like, he's not, it's like, we love Narvaez, but like, does Joe Boyle on the A's know who the fuck Carlos Narvaez is? Like,
so one thing worth noting, and I think this is factual. If you flip the Red Sox and Blue Jays records, Carlos Narvaez is an All-Star.
Maybe.
That's right. Do the Red Sox deserve to have four All-Stars? Is the other conversation?
No, they don't. And honestly, they don't.
They don't.
Yeah. Yep.
But then the question is, like, who deserves it more, Narvaez or Bregman? And that's a tough one because it's like, would you rather have an insanely good half
Narvaez
season or like a very good full first half? I'd probably leave Narvaez too, Sammy. I think you're right.
Yeah, come on. Where would this team be without Narvaez? Like, they would be dead. Yeah.
My other gripe is I think the Javi Baez thing, like, shout out to him for his comeback, and like, he's going to be competition with Giolito for comeback player of the year this year. Those guys and DeGrom, I feel like, are three prime. Like, we've had some good comeback stories this year. But Javi Baez has played 33 games this year in the outfield. We need to do some quick addition here. 28 plus 19. All right, hold on. I'll just do it on the calculator because I'm a fucking
28 plus 19 is 47.
Plus 19 plus an additional five. He's played 52 games in the infield and 33 games in the outfield. And he's starting the All-Star game in the outfield. That's bullshit.
I mean, it's stupid. It's a fan vote. It's a cool story, yeah. Though. It's cool. By the way, Javi Baez, starting center fielder for the AL. PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, starting center fielder for the NL. And they were traded for each other.
Poor Mets. Ended up with neither.
Yeah, Mets are the real loser here.
Yeah.
They must be so upset right now about that.
Joe?
Here's Joe.
No, they are not the big loser. You know who the big loser is? Rafael Devers. Because he would have made the All-Star team as the ALDH, and now he's not even on the National League roster. He's the loser at all.
But is he really the winner, though? Because last year he wanted no part of going to the All-Star game. He might be happy he didn't make it.
I mean, based on his play, it looks like he wants no part of the All-Star game. So,
but based on his ego, he might want the spotlight and say, look at me, I'm an All-Star.
His ego is less like, give me the spotlight, more like, I'm not doing this. It's more aloof.
Put some respect on me.
Yeah, put some respect on my name. Oh, he's cute. He eats ice cream. I'm so sick of this shit.
Not that guy, anyway. Pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
You're not that guy, Rafi.
So, yeah, in synopsis, Javi Baez, I feel like, should not be on the All-Star team, but I think his comeback is pretty cool.
But I think part of the All-Star game is, like, fun storylines, too.
And it's supposed to be big names, too. And, like, as much as we love these guys, Narvaez, Sadon, Willier Abreu, because I feel like Sadon and Abreu, you could make equal arguments for this. They're not household names yet. They might get there. I hope they do. If the Red Sox have success as a team, they sure as shit will get there. But they're not that yet. The Narv is the one is my biggest gripe. I like ride or die with that guy. He deserves it. But with the way he's played, maybe it's in his future. I really hope it is, because that guy is awesome. I love that guy. Love the Narv. Shall we do some Nuff Said before we get on out of here?
Sure.
I want to close it out with mine, because mine is obviously the most important. You guys will understand why when I say it. So you guys go first.
All right. I'll go. I gotta call out Gordo and give you a chance to run back a take, because Sadon Rafaela has become one of the best players on the Red Sox with a 763 OPS. He's the best defensive player in Major League Baseball. 11 home runs, 11 steals, hitting 264 if you care about batting average. That's not bad. 296 at-bats. Not so much a luxury to a team, more like a very good player. Gordo, would you like to change your Sadon Rafaela take?
I feel like I already have. I feel like I've talked about it on the last few pods. I said I was wrong. I think he is already... I think what he is right now is what I thought maybe his ceiling could be by the time he got to his mid to late 20s. And he's doing it in his early 20s. And clearly, if you're doing that in your early 20s, there's more room to grow. So I definitely underestimated Sadon. I will be the first to admit it. I hope he keeps this up. I when he steps up to the plate and there is a guy on second base, I think that run is scoring. So I shout out to him. And yeah, I you will not hear Sadon shit talk from me.
You know what's right super now. Impressive? Was super impressive in the Saturday game, him going opposite field with power. That's something we've not really seen from Sadon. Off the wall. Or actually, that didn't get out. Well,
they
went off the wall.
They want him pulling it. Like that's got him going. But I mean, on the road, like, yeah, man, spray it all over the place. And when you're at Fenway, use that wall.
Yeah, pull. But just having that in your bag, I don't think we've ever seen him hit a ball like that as a major leaguer ever. With that much power, and I'm not counting that 302-foot opposite field home run at Fenway. That does not count. But that was a hit with authority to the opposite field. Good to see. He's been awesome to watch. And I like that they're keeping him low in the order. They're not like overwhelming him. Like, now you're not just the best defender on the team. We need you to carry the offense. Like, no, just stay low in the order, produce when needed, keep doing what you're doing.
Yep, keep doing what you're doing. Pat, you got enough said?
I do.
I don't think I've said this before, but I've been thinking about it for a while. So I think that the MLB should make the 4th of July their equivalent to the NFL on Thanksgiving.
For sure.
Like, I think they should do it so it's every 4th of July, it's like rivalry week. So it'd be like Sox Yankees, Cardinals Cubs, Dodgers Giants, or Dodgers Pop, like whatever. All of that. You have the Nationals be what they did yesterday. They do it every year. It's like the Lions playing on Christmas. 11 a.m., the Nationals are playing on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
The rest of the day, the whole slate is just rivalry games. I think that untapped marketing thing because it's the only sport going on right now. And it's just like, oh, summer baseball.
Competition, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I would do. I think that would be so cool if they turned it into like their Thanksgiving.
How many hot dogs do you guys think you could eat in a competition like that?
Oh, dude, I don't eat hot dogs.
Hot dogs, but I'm not a good volume eater. I get full.
I think I could do like between 12 and 15. I can eat a lot. I'm working on portion control. It's very important
for you, Sammy.
Yeah.
I said my Nuff Said was going to be the most important, but it no longer is because I've seen an update. I was going to call it the most important Nuff Said of the season, but it is not. The news yesterday was that Johan Ramirez opted out of his Pirates deal, and I was going to come on to this podcast and close it out by pleading with the Red Sox to bring back the king, Johan Ramirez. But as I Googled just to make sure he hadn't signed on with anybody or been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame or something like that, he has re-signed with the Pirates. So
oh, now, thank God.
My Nuff Said is just going to – I'm going to go eat an entire tub of ice cream tonight. That's my butt. The Red Sox had all these things and going well for them, and I said there were no butts. I now have – I have my butt. God damn it.
Dude, bring him home. I am so upset that the Red Sox didn't pick up this guy that couldn't make the Pirates bullpen. God damn it.
He's going to be good, Sammy. Just you wait. It's Johan. He's going
to
be good.
He needs to go to Asia and then come back in 2 years and we'll be like, oh, that's right, Johan. And then he'll be good. Just like...
Wenzin Hernandez.
No.
Well, he should.
Yes. Or like the big enter, I was going to say.
Oh, true. He actually is going to do that.
Yeah, Trey
just like casually throws 100 now.
Yeah, what the fuck? Anyway, how about those Sox, dude?
Brad Keller also throws 100, and Drew Pomerantz doesn't ever allow runs.
Caleb Bort's still around too.
Has Pomerantz still not allowed a run? He allowed a run. His ERA is now on Baseball Reference 0.76.
What a bum, dude!
What a bum. Who would have thought that like David Price is multiple years retired, yet Drew Pomerantz is still kicking up sub-1 ERAs in the Major League Baseball. But yeah, that'll do it. Episode 234, Play Tessie. Sox coming off a sweep of the Nationals, coming home, facing the Colorado Rockies. A lot of stud starting pitchers on that team that are going to come into Fenway Park and try to shut out the red-hot Red Sox offense. It is a recipe for disaster. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back midweek, I believe, with a Who Says No. So we will... tease that a little bit. And remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars, and subscribe to WEI on YouTube. Find all our episodes there on the Play Tessie playlist and hit the thumbs up on those as well. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie everywhere, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Jesus. Thanks for tuning in. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for the official Red Sox podcast at WEI for Play Tessie episode. So good. It's so about to close. 234. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.